IRS on the Road, value-based parenting and life balance ideas from world-traveling family coaches. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
Hello, and welcome back to IRS on the Road.
We're always happy to do this, aren't we? We usually record on Friday mornings, and they roll around pretty often, and we always kind of look forward to it because anything we haven't talked about or thought about for the week, we can kind of, you know, communicate with you and with each other, you know? Exactly. It's where we catch up with each other a little bit.
We so appreciate once in a while when people say they're listening, that we're just talking to a computer. I'm talking to a picture of Richard on the my computer. But it is always great to be with you. And especially during springtime, we are up at Park City, Utah today, which has had kind of a roller coaster ride on spring, winter, and that's that time of year.
I've been running up into the hills. I call it jiking because it's kind of a combination of a jog and a hike, right? So jiking.
Right.
And sometimes people who are walking pass me up. Because I really jog slowly. I'm trying to bring back the old jog. It's not a run, it's a jog, but it's uphill, so it's a jike.
I can walk a lot faster than you can.
Yeah, you are a fast walker. But here's the thing, you know, we see moose. We go up into these hills right behind our place, just right at the summit, at Parley Summit, and they're the top of the chain. They're not bothered by anything, but the deer that are here are bothered by the cougars. And the other day, just right 40 yards from our house, a mountain lion killed a deer and took a couple of days to eat it. So, and then the neighbor was telling me he saw a bear recently. So we're in wild. We're in their territory. They're not bothering. They're not infringing on us. We're infringing on them. And it's kind of cool to think about that, but you don't want to think about it too much when you're out running on these trails.
Especially the moose, the big guys. Yeah, they've been around a lot. I don't know if we told you or not, but one winter, we had moose coming every day, a big moose coming around and just walking around, and I thought it was so cool.
You see, came the same place.
Just walking past our front window, and it was so great. And then winter went by, and we went over to our barn, which is just right across there, and we realized that crazy guy, there was so much snow that he'd been just stepping through the big window in our barn and eating all our hay.
All of
our hay was gone.
This is back in the days when we had the horses. By the way, let's not talk about it. I miss them, honey. I miss the horses.
I know.
Will Rogers said there's something about the outside of a horse that's very good for the inside of a man. I miss them. But anyway, we put them down in southern Utah for the winter because there's too much snow here. And so we just left our hay in the barn, and when the snow went away, this was a big snow winter, unlike this past winter, and when we finally got back in the barn, all the hay was gone, and that moose had just come every morning all winter and just eaten his fill.
Well, actually,
and you thought it was worth it because you like watching him so much.
Do that again next year because it's so fun to just watch him walk him by. Luckily, we don't have any little kids. We didn't then that we'd have to worry about them bothering the moose. But anyway, it was really a fun winter. In fact, I thought, what about a salt lick? Let's get them down here. I love watching. Anyway. That's
a salt lick.
Yeah, salt.
Oh, a salt lick. Maybe that would bring them over to so we can.
My dad always had salt licks, you know, for the cattle and the horses and stuff.
Well, okay. we're back. We're this is the month. We've looked forward to this for a long time in April, where we're really going to kind of have a theme every week on the podcast of morning prayer. How to improve morning prayer. We introduced it last week, and the whole idea of the incalculable privilege and pleasure of actually being able to, when you think about it, it's so presumptuous, but in such a beautiful way that we, these tiny creatures on this tiny planet, and we're all thinking how tiny we are now as we watch the moonshot and we see Artemis and we see we're just this little teeny planet, and here we are, little specks on it, and yet we actually believe we can speak to the creator of the universe. It's an overwhelming thing. And we talked a little last time about maybe the need to listen more in prayer. We talked about our friend and mentor, Stephen Covey, who once told us privately that if we didn't listen at least 60% of the prayer, we were missing the whole idea of what prayer was.
And actually, I think he said 50. Then they go
to that ball. He said 60, because I remember it was like, it's not even half and half. It's like you should listen more than half of the time.
I know, but you tend to exaggerate. But let's look that up. Anyway,
how would we look it up? Go find our notes from that little session.
Lots of Stephen's books. We can go back.
Oh, he didn't put it in a book. It was his private advice to us. Because he thought that you talked too much.
So we'll never know. We'll never know. Okay, but anyway, I don't mean to make that lightly. I mean to say that lightly, because it really is so important. And I am not as good at morning prayers as you are. I have developed the habit of, in my life, waking up to a crying baby or a kid squabbling or things happening.
We all do.
Get up and go, what have I got to do today? And then we just run off and do it. And it really makes your day so much better if you just pause for a moment.
Well, we mentioned last week that we love our evening prayers together, but that we've both been dissatisfied with morning prayers. There was a poll that we used to refer to sometimes in our talks of what's the first thing that comes into your mind when you wake up in the morning? And the leading answer, you'd think the leading answer would be, I need to go to the bathroom. But the leading answer was, what have I got to do today? In other words, the minute we wake, what am I late for something? What do I have to do this morning? What's coming at me? Who needs me? Where do the kids have to go? And so on. And very few on that poll said, well, the first thought that comes to my mind is I need to get on my knees and pray. But that right. ought to be the first thought. And if we can do that before we turn on our phones, before we turn on the TV, before we look at the news, before we look at the stock market, before we make our list for the day, then we're actually putting ourselves in the position we want to be with relation to God, that we want, first of all, to thank him and to listen to him and to work towards his agenda rather than our own.
I really like that. I really like stopping myself when I wake up being mad about what's going on in the world or sad or distraught or whatever, because we are living in a crazy time in the Earth's history right now. And it is hard not to think about it. And I do think that's another reason to get on our knees and do that first thing in the morning, because, wow, it can be really destructive.
We mentioned briefly last week that one thing we've done, and again, we're maybe making a huge assumption here. We don't believe that every single person that listens to this podcast is a deeply spiritual person or even, a person of faith necessarily. But we do believe, and we have survey data to back this up, that most people in this country do believe in God and do pray to some extent. And many of you, because of your faith, pray a lot and want, like we do, to become skilled. It's a strange word. Can you be skilled at prayer? Is prayer some kind of a science, or is it an art? How do we grow better at it, and how do we make it more meaningful, and so on? We mentioned last week that we have both a gratitude journal and an ask journal, so we're keeping track in writing not every day, not every week, but in general, the large things, keeping track of what we're so grateful for. And of course, gratitude journals, are people all over the world use them, and they do, they're marvelous. People who become good at gratitude are the happiest people in the world. But we also have a little special book where we keep track of the things we've asked God for. And looking back at that, Linda, over decades is remarkable, because what you find in that retrospective is that God really does answer all our prayers, not always the way we want, but they're always answered. And that's a, and that is a, if there's one thing that would increase our faith, it's to look back and over that record and to see that those prayers were answered. And again, not always the way you think. We love the phrase, God always says yes, unless he has something better in mind.
I love that, because sometimes we just plead and plead and cry and please, please give me this. Help me figure this out. Help somebody to do better, or whatever it is that we're worried about. And it, when you look back on those requests, you realize that, man, you know, maybe I just didn't realize at the time that there was something better than I was asking for.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a sister who is the wonder of the world, is in my estimation. Her husband passed away 20 years ago. We just had a really amazing memorial for him, maybe last month.
Yeah, thinking back on his
thinking back on his life and what has happened since then. And I don't think she would mind me sharing that she's, a lot has happened since then in their family.
A lot of trials.
A lot of trials, a lot of sadness, but a lot of happiness, a lot of joy. There's been alcohol issues, drug issues. There's been inactive issues. And yeah, they are all just beautiful kids. And they've come through it. And what they wanted maybe at that moment was not what the Lord wanted them to have, but what they learned from it was so important.
Yeah, the looking back over life and seeing that. And what we're going to do, in a few minutes, we're going to take a little break. And when we return, as we promised last week, we're going to actually go through a sequence that we think enlivens prayer or activates it or makes it flow, makes it meaningful and powerful. But before we do that, the other thing I wanted to say, and again, this is reflective of where we started last week, you know, in our belief, and again, prayer is such an individual thing, and we don't presume for a moment to be some kind of experts on prayer or to be lecturing you or telling you how to pray. We're just reflecting on our own journey and our own relationship with prayer, particularly morning prayer. And one of the things we believe, and I think this is shared by so many Christians around the world, is that there are three members of the Godhead. There is God the Father, there is the Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, and there is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And whether you perceive them, as many Christians do, as three parts of one Trinity, or whether you believe, as we do, that they are three separate beings who are totally one in purpose and in how they, and as John testifies in the 17th chapter and so on, that they're one in purpose, as we want to be one with them and so on. But the interesting thing is, I always think about this. It's a, I'm like burned in my mind, this one discussion we had in a group one time, where the question was, which of those three members of the Godhead are you praying to? And that's pretty easy, because Jesus himself says you pray to the Father. But then the question was, well, which of the three do we have the most intimate relationship with? And that was really interesting, because I remember the group was divided on that. There was a certain number who said, oh, it's, we have the most intimate relationship with God the Father. He's the one we're talking to. He's the one we're praying to every day. He's the one where he's our father. We're his children. And another group will said, well, yes, of course, but it's Jesus who we have the most powerful relationship with, because he's our Savior and he came here. He experienced everything we do. He's our brother and our Savior. And then another group said, well, I think maybe it's the Holy Ghost, because that's what we feel. That's the influence that we feel in our lives. And we always know intimately best the people who we feel and who directly influence us and so on. So it's this beautiful thing of prayer where we're contemplating that Godhead and addressing our prayers to the Father, but with the thought in mind that we're praying in the name of Jesus Christ and that we're hopeful of answers that will come through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, it's really interesting to think about. And maybe as you feel closer to different entities at different times. According to what your trial is. But it's interesting to think about. Well, we're going to take a little break here. And we hope that you'll stick with us, because we have a lot of interesting things.
We're going to be bold enough to suggest a sequence of prayer that adds life and depth and power. So, again, just from our own, what we're working on ourselves. We're just sharing what we're working on.
So hang on, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Ayers on the Road. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
And we're back. We did not even mention in the first half about how much we loved Easter this year.
Oh, goodness.
We had such a wonderful experience with our family. We thought we'd have 12. Well, we thought we'd have 10. Then we thought we'd have 14. Then suddenly we had 22.
For Easter dinner.
Easter dinner. And it was so fun to have them around. We do have one daughter. Before you launch into this thing, I do have to say that we have one daughter that is a little bit crazy. She and her husband, they're all a little bit crazy. We're a little bit crazy. But it is so fun to see her. She and her little seven-year-old took off for spring break to Mexico City.
Well, they divided and conquered. The husband took three boys camping, of all three kids camping, and Charity, our daughter, took one of them. They liked one-on-one trips with their kids, which is pretty
they do.
Powerful.
It's really
something
cool.
We never figured out.
Yeah. Well, a little bit once.
They're in Mexico City.
But the dad took the three other little kids, two five-year-olds and a nine-year-old, camping. And he forgot the pull-ups. So, just to add a little humor there. Anyway, it has really been a wonderful Easter season. And with that, let's launch back.
We probably should have done a whole podcast just on how wonderful Easter was this year.
Yeah.
But thanks for remembering and bringing it up. But here's again, I alluded to this a little last week as we introduced the subject, but Linda, you are an intuitive prayer. You pray so earnestly and sincerely and naturally that you don't have to think about it very much. It comes to you naturally. And I, on the other hand, am more sequential and sort of more analytical, many times to my detriment. And I have to kind of have a pattern. And so what I want to do is just in this next 10 minutes or so, share a sort of an 8-stage sequence that I kind of go through in my mind on these morning prayers. And I'll just say them one at a time and then have you respond, and we'll go through them and see. And again, this is not some, I'm not trying to give some formula here. Prayer shouldn't be a formula. It should come from the heart, and it should be what you really feel and so on. But to me, there's some value in this. And it starts with being peaceful. I think the first of these eight is you need to take a little time to calm yourself. And that might only be 10 or 15 seconds. Take some deep breaths and be calm and be peaceful as you begin the prayer.
Right.
I think that's really key because it puts you in a pattern where you're able to try to tune in, right?
Yes, this is good for me because I just flop down on my knees or roll over in bed and have a prayer of, you know, this is what I need and this is what is happening and help me with this. So it really is interesting that if you enter a prayer with some calmness.
People are saying, I don't have time for that. It doesn't take time. It's just the thought. I'm calmly, I'm peacefully approaching God. Then the second thing in the sequence is perspective, for want of a better word. Just take a moment to realize how tiny you are and how great God is. And that's where the idea of praise comes in. We praise God simply by recognizing that He is everything and that we are nothing. And then, of course, that brings the perspective of gratitude, that we're thankful and we try to give voice or give feelings to specific things that we're so grateful for. That's the second little thing in this sequence, I think.
I love it. I mean, it is, and it's calming, especially when you wake up with a lot of things on your mind and your life is crazy and how are we going to get through this day? It really is so calming to just calm your mind
and be thankful, realize how small we are and how grateful we are. And then the third, I don't even want to say step, but the third progression here is just sort of an acknowledgement of our need to repent and to ask forgiveness and to realize the need we have for the Holy Spirit. It's just this this humility, this nothingness that comes over us, where we are submitting ourselves to God and where we are saying, asking forgiveness for the things that maybe are troubling our conscience, but also just trying to seek the Holy Spirit, saying, I've tried to calm myself. I've tried to think of my smallness and my gratitude, but now I can't go any further. I need the Holy Ghost here, that third thing in this sequence.
Yeah, I love that. It really is. It's good, not only good for the prayer, but it's good for your mind, for your soul, for your peace.
Yeah. And then comes, I think, the thing a lot of us don't do, or that I have not been good at, which is to just back off of your own agenda. Just essentially say to God, I have a lot to do today. I have responsibilities. I have things I want to do. But I will throw all those away if I need to. I will get rid of those. I want to be on your wavelength today. I want to be your servant today, not my own servant. I want to be submissive to whatever you want me to do. And saying that before you even ask for anything, right?
Right.
So that's the fourth little thing. And then the fifth one is the asking. And I think the problem, if we just get down on our knees or just bow our head or just close our eyes, or I mean, we pray everywhere, right? We pray in the car. We pray, hopefully, I mean, the scriptures say to pray always, and we can always have a prayer in our heart. But if we just start asking for things without those first four steps, where we're being submissive and saying it's your will that counts and not mine, then we tend to be in the wrong frame of mind, and we tend to want our thoughts to dictate what happens, rather than saying, you know, I want to ask for these things now, but I'm in the mood and have already said it's your will that I want, not my will.
Right. How does that fit in? Because what I have found myself doing lately is during a prayer, just saying, help me to see the light of Christ in the people that I meet today, that I talk to, that I interact with. And how does that fit in that plan.
perfectly, because you're saying, in essence, let me be an instrument in your hands, God, rather than some agent into myself. Let the Spirit guide me to someone I can help, or someone who needs me, or something you want me to do that I might not have thought of. Let that just flow over me. And then once you've said that, once you've done that asking, I think the beautiful thing about prayer, when we approach it in the way we're talking about, where we've come to it carefully and humbly, is that prayer becomes self-correcting. If you ask for something, you know you need something, and maybe you knelt down or you started your prayer wanting to get to that thing you want to ask for, but you've kind of prepared yourself by getting in the Spirit and doing this gratitude and forgiveness and so on. And now, when you ask for something, which is the sixth, or excuse me, the fifth of these eight phases, if it's not quite the right thing, there's it, and you kind of alter it. Then you say, well, maybe actually what I think I'm asking for is this, or maybe there's another thing that I hadn't considered that I should be focused on here instead. So that asking comes, and then the ability, I mean, always in the scriptures, the word ask is paired with "and you shall receive." So, but is that a promise, or is that an admonition? You ask and you will receive. Yes, that is a promise. But if you say you ask and then it's another admonition, receive, be open to it. Someone, the quarterback can throw the ball, but if the receiver doesn't catch it, in other words, are we
No good.
really tuned in? Are we really, that's the listening thing that Covey talked about. That's now that you've tried to refine what you're asking for a little bit. And again, these things can happen quickly. They're just a flow or a sequence. And once you've said, I want to hear, I want to listen, I want to know, just be there. Don't say anything. Just kneel, or wherever you are, or whatever place you're in spiritually, just absorb, see what comes, be still, and see what happens on the receiving end of the prayer, right?
I think that prayer gets us closer to the other world, or the world that's around us all the time that we're not aware of, than anything that we can do if we can just concentrate on this is
Yeah, there's
important.
more. There's more.
I'm sitting here looking at a little picture on a refrigerator of a video, I know, a picture of the new great grandbaby that's about to join our family.
Yeah.
We have a granddaughter that actually does these videos and pictures of these moms that want to see what those babies are like inside. And I pass by that every day, and it puts me in a different world, because that little child, and it's, when we used to have those when we were having, in fact, the last few babies were the only time we could see who was actually in there. It was just kind of blobby, bluish things. You couldn't really tell. Now this is this and this,
Yeah.
but that little face is
Oh
just
my gosh, it's like we already
beautiful.
know that child.
That child is in vitro right now, but coming out in about 3 weeks,
Yeah.
and it just puts me in a whole different world. How can we possibly have that now? I mean, but there that child is. There's that little face. It's about
Yeah.
to join us.
Yeah.
But think about that world. That's what puts me into another orbit, so to speak, when I think about, wow, that child is, we don't know, with Heavenly Father or whatever, but it's just about to join us through a heavenly experience that
Yeah.
we'll never have any other way.
Well, you just captured the whole bottom line, or the umbrella that arches over all this, Linda, which is it being in a different world. When you pray, you enter a different world. You enter a spiritual world, and you're not all the way in this physical world for those moments. And that leads to the last two things in this little sequence. The seventh one is just the idea of not only receiving, but But responding, going, essentially doing something about it, resolving to whatever you've felt or whatever you've led, whatever nudge you've had, whatever little insight you've had, it's the commitment to do it. It's the commitment to get up now and go do it and to live that way through the day. And then the last one, the eighth one, is to feel joy in it. That's we got to get up from our prayers feeling kind of a happiness and putting ourselves in this, and it's not the pleasure of the moment, it's the happiness of having entered this bigger world, this spiritual world, and wanting to carry at least a remnant of that, at least a feeling of that with you throughout the rest of the day.
Yeah, it's thinking about it. What can I do? And so, as soon as we finish this program, I'm going to go call our granddaughter who's having this baby and see how she's doing and talk about it and so on. We just it, oh, we need to open our minds to this other world and take the little promptings that come to us and do something with it every day. I mean, that's the best part of prayer. Like, oh, this is just settled over me. This is what I should do today.
Now, two things to end on. And again, we're not trying to be prayer experts or tell you how to pray. But for me, sometimes it really works in that morning prayer to close the prayer and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, as we're taught to do. But maybe not say the amen. Maybe hold off on the amen, because maybe you want to kind of keep that prayer open through the day. Continue to receive, continue to try to live a little bit in that other world.
Do you think that's what our prophet did when he spoke to us at
I don't know.
conference, at
That's a
general
good
conference, which
question.
we haven't done in a
He
few?
didn't left off the
He
amen.
left off the amen. I think he did it on purpose. He said in the name of the Savior, but he did not say amen because this is ongoing. This is the beginning, really, of his experience as the prophet of our church. So.
Could be. And then the final thing. Next week, I'm gonna try to do this carefully so it doesn't seem gimmicky. And again, you don't really need this as much as I do, honey. But I'm gonna take those eight steps in that sequence we've just talked about, and I'm gonna give them all a name, and they all are names that start with R, and they're all words that are seven letters. And to me, when I have those eight R's in my mind, it improves my prayer. So I'm going to share that next time. Linda's going to laugh a little at me because she doesn't need it. She can do it
No, because you
instinctively.
work so amazingly well with putting, what'd you say? They all start with R and they all have happy letters.
The eight
They
R's
all
of
have happy
prayer
letters. Okay.
and the sequence of them and the eight of them, they all have seven letters and they
Okay.
all start with R. So
So get
maybe
excited.
you can guess what they are before next week.
We love being with you. Thank you for joining us today and come back to find out what the eight R's are next. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.